When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Can you believe it? We are back. If you are a new listener, welcome to David Odyssey's Odyssey, such as it is. And if you are an old crony macaroni, as my mother would call, thank you for sticking around with me through multiple incarnations and incubations. I have wanted to bring the podcast back for a few months now. Ever since I listened to an end of 2023 New Yorker podcast critics roundup in which they talk about quote unquote the year of the doll. Anyways, I have a lot of respect for those writers, but it was one of the most infuriating things I've ever listened to, and I was filled with this boiling rage and I realized, oh yeah, I should be talking. Anyways, if you are new or old to this, this is an astrology-ish podcast, which is to say, listen, I always say that throughout life we exit multiple closets, which is to say you don't just come out of one closet, you exit multiple closets throughout your life, you go through different awakenings and identities. In the same way, once you've kind of like gotten into one of these things, you're kind of into all of them. So we're going to be crisscrossing. I talk about everything, okay? But a lot of it is through the frame of the quote-unquote metaphysical. So I don't really have a lot to say to begin with. Just to preface, I don't really have a lot to say about there's a Mercury retrograde happening April 1st through 25th in the sign of Aries. I don't really have a lot to say. So, you know, with a Mercury retrograde, it's so personal. You might listen, my friend Albina, her sink exploded. Okay, that doesn't apply to everyone. I mean, this is the hard thing about writing horoscopes. It always comes down to this aspect of I don't know your life. However, there are some larger global and collective changes going on in the archetypal level that I thought were worth discussing. As I mentioned, this Mercury retrograde is in Aries. On April 8th, we have a total solar eclipse in Aries. Everyone, this isn't one of those eclipses that's like archetypal or symbolic. Like, old people in my dad's high rise are like buying special goggles to view this. This is going to be one of those eclipses. It's kind of like the eclipse on Mad Men, etc. So it's in Aries. During this eclipse, the sun will be momentarily blacked out by the moon. It's interesting because the new Dune movie opens with a similar eclipse. And that eclipse in the cinematic universe of Dune, in the storytelling between part one and part two, part one is really Paul's awakening and initiation into, you know, it is the stripping away of his old life as, pampered royalty. And it is his, as we see the eclipse open the second Dune, we see him fully crossing over into a world of not only violence and destruction, but also action and change and mobility. You know, Aries is the first sign of the zodiac, so we're really thinking about creation, beginnings. With creation is also destruction. They come hand in hand. I think for many of us who have grown up, and I don't want to like decry this because I think like I'm so lucky to have grown up the way I grew up, but that sort of epochal, eclipse-like, explosive, volcanic you know, things are absolutely annihilated and new things are created. That's not necessarily something we were super exposed to. I think we were exposed to a world in which things kind of stagnate or fade or just kind of, if we think about the current age we're in, which is this age of hyper nostalgia and hyper referentiality, things just kind of keep coming back. What we're going into is going to be not that. Saturn is currently in Pisces. So Saturn's in Pisces about 2023 to 2025, 2026. Saturn is the planet of definition. And once Saturn wraps up in Pisces, it's heading to Aries. And, you know I'm kind of a broken record with this, but if we think about the last time Saturn did this, we're talking about the mid-90s. So we're thinking about the crossover from grunge into Spice Girls, Sex and the City, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Destiny's Child. And, you know, that's super reductive. But when we go into that Aries, we're really thinking about these new creations. The issue, I did a great interview with another great podcast I love, Club Cosmos Radio. I interviewed the host for Nylon, and we talked about, they were saying, Malia was saying how Pisces is all about the jewel box. And I was saying, you know, it's so weird watching Drag Race now, because Drag Race, it's not even that the queens are referencing old movies or old divas, they're referencing Drag Race. It's everything is becoming so hyper-referential, but we are crossing into the new. So that comes with a lot. What I want to just say first of all is Saturn's going to be moving, not first of all, because I've already been talking for 300 years, but Saturn's going to be moving into Aries. Next year, Neptune is moving into Aries. We're having these eclipses in Aries. There is a combustion required. If we think about all of this nostalgia and hyper-referentiality and also grieving, I think a lot of what cancel culture, blah, 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 is about is grieving. You know, I think for a lot of us, when we saw someone like Brett Kavanaugh just get elected to the Supreme Court and that's that, where does that anger and grief go? Where does our anger and grief for those of us who have survived fucked up shit go? And in Pisces, it's all swirling around. In Aries, it's either, as we move in Aries, it's either released through a healthy catharsis, or it comes to an explosive kind of conflagration. You know, a lot of the, I'm remiss to even admit this, but I'm listening to the witch trials of J.K. Rowling, whatever. What we're seeing is, when astrologers talk about the Saturn and Aries generation, which are the kids who are born in the late 90s, probably, I would say Zendaya's Saturn and Aries. Florence Pugh might be Saturn in Aries. Anyways, that generation and the Saturn in Taurus kids, you know, these are the ones who often take the blame, and I'm not saying that millennials are any better, but they often take the blame for taking retroactive offense or offense by proxy online, or they're always, you know, starting a fight or taking a stand or blah, 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 blah. A lot of that comes from anger that didn't really get processed. So, you know, the first kind of calling that we're experiencing with Saturn in Pisces is to really, Pisces being the end of the zodiac and the sign of healing, is like, how can we put some of this shit to bed? How do we want to close a cycle? How do we want to bury the dead? Because when we go into Aries, there is so much action and excitement, and the issue comes with projection, which is I am, you know, defying the man or rebelling against the system or fighting the good fight, but really you are dragging your old shit into this and turning it into a projection. By the way, as someone who is humiliated by their everything they posted in 2020. Like, I am speaking from experience and not from any high horse pony. But false with Pisces, we have the threat. Pisces is the sign of martyrdom. So we have the idea of false martyrdom, which is people like putting themselves on a cross, even though no one asked them to, and people like suffering when no one asked them to. With Aries, we have false heroism, which is, you know, I am going to be the one, dot, dot, dot. A big concession that's going to have to happen is all of us realizing that no one cares if we take a stand. That's kind of the takeaway for me from the J.K. Rowling podcast, is on all sides of that debate in which she's embroiled in, are, including her, but including her critics, are these people who think that they need to heroically speak out. And it becomes a bit of a posture, and it becomes a bit of a, it just becomes a cul-de-sac of the self. There's a documentary, it's actually on YouTube, I highly recommend it. Ruby got me into it. It's called Century of the Mind. And it's about how the idea of individuality was invented. It was invented on Madison Avenue by Anna Freud. Anna Freud was brought in by ad executives to use Freudian psychology to create a new advertising lexicon. And she created this idea that each person has their own specific needs and desires. And I'm not saying that that's all not true. I get it. I'm not saying I want to live in a society where, look, this isn't Fiddler on the Roof, where you're the milkman, you're the farmer, and that's your identity. What I mean to say is, and I'm not trying to give the middle finger to years of therapy, which have helped me. And by the way, my individuality is like my most cherished possession. But it's hard for us to understand that our individualism, remember, individuality and individualism are the keywords of Aries, are means by which products get to be sold and means by which we get to put ourselves on the radar, and maybe not in the way we think. So that's just, those are just some things to think about, because when Saturn goes to Aries soon, a lot of those stands that we may have taken, we might look back and say, what good did that do, or who was that for? I say that because there are people right now in the world on battlefields, and then there are people who are wanting to get in on the noise, but it's not, people on battlefields are destroying, like they're actually doing the destruction. A lot of people who are in discourse, it's more drops in the Piscean ocean. It's not moving things. So with Aries, the good thing that's coming with all of this is the idea, if we think about that Spice Girls thing of like, they just showed up and they were in platform boots and they took us with them. That Xena Warrior Princess thing of like, she has come. And by the way, Lucy Lawless and Aries, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Aries, Sarah Jessica Parker, Aries, might as well say it, Reese Witherspoon, massive diva of that era, you know, election leading up to, I just rewatched Legally Blonde. Triumphant. Like, we'll never not be triumphant. And like, they did it. God, it's so, they just did it and we all take it for granted. But what we want with Aries is just like start something and make it happen and make it exciting and make it fun and make it real. And I'm not trying to say that cultural and political movements are invalid. What I am trying to say is a lot of the way we engage is really going to be changing. I don't know the value of watching a show that came out 25 years ago and talking about how it's problematic. Okay, I would love if you just wrote a new show. I would love that. I'm not saying it's that simple, but maybe it is. You know, it's bizarre to me that we live in a world where there are YouTubers doing everything wrong with videos, whatever, where they watch some, okay. This is not creating something new. This is talking about something, which I'm doing right now on a podcast, but do you get what I'm saying? So I'm just putting all of that out, you know, and Dune was also just, wow. Dune was really something, and it was so overwhelming, but it was so beautiful, and it was so, you know, it's, you see what happens when creative collaboration is engaged. You see what happens when people like want to make something that they haven't seen before. And by the way, there's that Mad Men quote when Peggy's on the date with a guy who lives in Brooklyn and drives a truck. And she's like, those girls, those people in Manhattan, they are better than us because they want something they haven't seen before. Oof. We'll get into this closer to Taurus season. There's, you know, I don't want to get into the, we'll talk about Taurus stuff soon because there's plenty going on there. But what I do think is going to be, listen, the eclipse will be rough. This is not a time in the world of like passivity. And I think a lot of us who have been stoned or medicated or dissociated are unfortunately having to like wake up to the harsh light of day, but it's a pretty volatile time in the world. And I know that the eclipse is not going to like cool that down necessarily, but there's a sense of, and you know, actually this is my issue with J.K. Rowling, which is, I don't really begrudge her beliefs. I wish she'd spoken through her art. And if we want to bring up another Aries, you know, there is Quentin Tarantino who just kind of like puts it in the work. So what I just, you know, so much is changing and falling apart. And I think we are entering we already are in a time of war and chaos and conflict, but a lot of how we choose to fight or where we want to transmute our creative energies, that's really where it gets more interesting and also fun. So that's worth thinking about. What else did I need to update you on? I just have to say this, like, Penelope Cruz is the only woman who has ever existed. I've been doing like an Almodovar, latter year Almodovar rewatch. Actually, this is okay with Almodovar. This is very good. He's a Libra. She's a Taurus. But, you know, early Almodovar, it's really interesting because as he was coming out of the, you know, Spanish repression years, his work has this volatile reactivity. It's really about pushing boundaries. But now that he's aged, you know, the last 20 years, the work is more heartfelt. I love it all, but it's been interesting to see. And what I love, I mean, obviously the visual creativity in his work is one thing, but what I really noticed about Penelope Cruz, who is top five for me, all of her movies, except for that shitty Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, she is always active. Almodovar always has her like scrubbing, cooking, washing dishes. In Volver, she's like handling the dead body. Like she's, and in Vicky Cristina Barcelona, she's like painting and taking pictures. I just have this imagery of her as this active presence. I just think that's so interesting because in her movie, she's so hard and she can be mean and abrasive, but there is this like breathing, expansive movement with her. And I just think that really symbolizes a lot of what's happening, which is the change is inevitable and the violence is inevitable. But I think that ability to move and to be active, even if it is washing a dish, rather than stagnant, is going to be the way. You know, a lot of us talk about, well, during 2020, I didn't do anything. I was on TikTok all day. All right, fine. We all coped how we needed to cope. I think it's got to be more, yeah, it's got to be more about scrubbing floors now. It's got to be more about, okay, the world is shit. Everything's fucked up. I'm drying sage on my refrigerator. Not even the bread baking dissociation sourdough shit. I just mean, do something with it, you know? So now that the pod is back, I would love to know what interests you. I was thinking about maybe we would do like Q&A things where I can answer your questions about this sort of stuff. And you can ask questions about your chart, blah, blah, blah. You let me know. I'm also thinking about doing digital courses, like pre-recorded courses that you can download. Is there anything you'd be interested in? Let me know. And lastly, support me. Book a reading wherever David Odyssey readings are sold. There's new rates and new hours. Book a reading. And also feel free to send a Venmo tip. David_Odyssey. And please subscribe to my Substack where you can also become a paid subscriber. So I really, really appreciate it. And yeah, like I'm doing this. So I'm glad you're on the ride with me. And thank you. Mwah.